Take your Bibles and go to Genesis, the first book of the Bible, chapter 50. Genesis chapter number 50. And I want to continue a lesson that I started last week on overcoming the problem of forgiveness. If you need a handout, lift up your hand and our ushers will be glad to bring you one at this time. Just lift your hand up high and our ushers will come to you. All right. We've been talking about this issue of forgiveness and we were examining two passages of Scripture, 2 Corinthians chapter 2, where Paul is discussing the church forgiving a young man who had repented of after committing the sin of fornication, and then Genesis 50, where Joseph forgives his 11 brothers who plotted against him, sold him into slavery, and then lied to their father Jacob to cover up their sin. It could be that you've struggled with this area of forgiveness. It's a common struggle. I mean, it really is. It's something that everybody probably at some point in their life struggles with, I would imagine. But, you know, I want us to look in your handout and review what we covered last week, just to refresh your memory, and then we'll get right into the new material for tonight. We just kind of summarized last week's handout. Last week's handout was, I think, front and back, but we just summarized it here to a couple paragraphs where it says, why is forgiveness such an important issue? Well, we talked about the fact that unforgiveness allows Satan to gain ground in our lives. We saw that in 2 Corinthians 2. The Bible says that when you don't forgive, Satan can get an advantage on you. And that's exactly what happens. You give him space, you give him room to work, he gets an advantage on you. And he can bring you into bondage, which is what he wants. And number two, we said unforgiveness can destroy the person that we refuse to forgive. A lot of times someone is, you know, yearning for forgiveness and the other person's withholding it. And they wallow in sorrow. They drown in sorrow because the other person won't forgive them. This happens a lot in families. You know, a mom can't forgive her daughter for what she did, or a son can't forgive his dad for something that he did. And maybe the daughter wants that forgiveness from mom, or that dad wants that forgiveness from his son. But many times we withhold it thinking we're going to punish them, you know, by not forgiving. And then they, you know, they truly do suffer because of that. Number three, unforgiveness hinders the entire body of Christ. Will unforgiveness hinder Crossroads? If our church is full of unforgiveness, is that going to hinder us? Yes or no? It will. It really will. All right. Let's look at the next section. Why is it so difficult to forgive when we've been wrong? Number one, because we want to see him suffer. I kind of hit on that a minute ago, didn't I? We want to see him suffer. And we kind of enjoy that because of what they did to us. And so we're going to withhold forgiveness so they can suffer. Number two, by the way, you may want them to suffer, but when you don't forgive, do you end up suffering? Yeah, you do. Number two, if we forgive, we feel as if we're letting them off the hook. We feel like we're letting them off the hook. And we talked about that last week, that, you know, you're letting them off your hook. Otherwise, you stay chained to the past. But they're never off God's hook. They're going to have to deal with God. All right. Number three, stubbornness. Stubbornness. You know, we just are stubborn, and which is another word for pride. And we won't forgive because of stubbornness. And then number four there, how do we forgive? Well, that's what we're going to look at tonight. I want to give you five principles from the life of Joseph about forgiveness. I'm going to get real practical, and I want to give you five very practical principles about forgiveness tonight. So I want you to go to your handout, and I want you to write these five principles tonight down. All right, here we go. We're going to look at Genesis 50. In fact, let's read a little bit of this first, and then we'll get into it. Look at Genesis 50, and look with me at verse number 15. Genesis 50 and verse number 15. It says, "And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead," Jacob had died. Okay, so Joseph's his 11 brothers saw that Jacob, their dad, was dead. They said, "Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him." And so they thought, now that dad's dead, he didn't want to make dad sad, but now that dad's gone, he's going to really let us have it. All right. Look at the next thing. Verse 16. It says, and they sent a messenger unto Joseph, saying, thy father did command before he died, saying, so shall ye say unto Joseph, forgive, I pray thee now, the trespass of thy brethren and their sin, for they did unto thee evil. And now we pray thee, forgive the trespass of the servants of the God of thy father. And Joseph wept when they spake unto him. So they go to Joseph and they say, hey, dad said before he died, he wanted you to forgive us. You know, I don't know if he really did or not, but they said that dad said before he died, he really wants you to forgive us for what we did. And then they said, we pray thee, we're begging you, forgive the trespass of thy servants. Remember, they sold him into slavery. They were jealous of him. So they took their little brother and they sold him to into slavery. He ends up in Egypt, ends up working for Potiphar, ends up getting false accused, goes to prison for years, gets forgotten there. And then, of course, he ended up getting out, interpreted a dream for Pharaoh, and rose to, you know, to be the leader over all of Egypt. But, man, he had to go through years of hardship because of what they did to him. Years. Look at verse 18. It says, and his brethren also went and fell down before his face, and they said, behold, we be thy servants. And Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. There was a big drought, and it ended up, because Joseph was in Egypt, he was able to save the life of his whole family. Verse 21. Now therefore, fear ye not, I will nourish you and your little ones. And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them. And Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. Now, I want to give you five principles about forgiveness. But before I do that, would you pray with me? Father, we come before you now through the blood of Jesus. I yield to the Holy Spirit of God that lives within me. And I ask you to fill me with the Holy Spirit as I teach tonight. I know that many people have come straight from work. They haven't eaten yet. Many people have driven long distances to get here tonight. And I want to feed the flock. I want to give these folks, Lord, something that will be helpful tonight. I pray, Father, that the Spirit of God will flow through me. I yield myself to the Spirit. And I pray, Father, that as I seek to be filled with your Spirit, as I teach, may each person here right now yield to the Holy Spirit to be a Spirit-filled listener and to receive from the Word of God what you would have for us tonight. Father, we need you. We cannot do this without you. We pray Satan will be defeated. He will be hindered. We pray that your will be accomplished here tonight and that we will truly be yielded unto you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. All right, let's go to number one. Number one, first principle is this. This is what we learn from Joseph. Bitterness is a natural work of the flesh. But forgiveness is a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. Now, it's important to remember this, that forgiveness, well, let me ask you this. Let me just say it this way. Is forgiveness something that God expects us to do, yes or no? Okay, yeah, definitely. Has God commanded us to forgive, yes or no? So therefore, can I do it? Is God going to ask me to do something I can't do? No. So, can I forgive? You say, yeah, you can. Well, can you? Can you? Yes. But is it going to come natural? No. Joseph's 11 brothers expected bitterness, didn't they? They expected him to be bitter. They expected Joseph to be hiding bitterness. And they expected him to return evil for evil. Look at verse 15. And when Joseph's brethren saw that their father was dead, they said, Joseph will peradventure hate us and will certainly requite us all the evil which we did unto him. They fully expected him to be bitter and to seek revenge for offenses suffered. It is very easy to live that way. It really is. It takes no real effort to be a vengeful person. It takes real no effort. I mean, it's just a natural thing that, that you would, when someone does evil to you, you want to get them back. And so that's a very natural thing, to want to do that. Bitterness is a natural work of the flesh. It really is. You got to remember that. Forgiveness is supernatural. It's a work of the Holy Spirit. Bitterness is very natural. It's like the mother who ran into the bedroom when she heard her 7-year-old son screaming. He was just screaming to beat the band. She found that his little 2-year-old sister was pulling his hair as hard as she could. She went over, she gently released the little girl's grip from off of the 7-year-old boy's hair, and she tried to comfort him, and she said, "Honey, now it's okay." She said to her son, she didn't mean it. And she said, "She doesn't know that that hurts you." He kind of did that, She left the room. She started down the hallway. She heard the little girl, the little 2-year-old girl, screaming to beat the band. She rushed back in. She said, "What happened?" The little boy said, "She knows now." She knows it hurts now. He taught her, didn't he? He requited evil for evil, didn't he? And that's very, very natural. It's just a natural thing to want to get revenge when somebody does you wrong. Forgiveness, on the other hand, is supernatural. It's got to come from the Holy Spirit. You cannot work that up in the flesh. It's got to come from the Holy Spirit. Go with me and keep your bookmarker here. We're going to be here all night. But just run real quick to Paul's epistle to the Ephesians. And go to Ephesians chapter 4. And he's writing here to a church, just like Crossroads. And in Ephesians chapter 4, in verse number 30, look at this with me. He says, "And grieve not," Ephesians 4:30. Give you a second to get there before I start reading. Ephesians 4:30. He says, "And grieve not the Holy Spirit of God, whereby ye are sealed unto the day of redemption." Now look at verse 31. Right after he talks about grieving the Spirit, he says, "Let all bitterness and wrath and anger and clamor and evil speaking be put away from you with all malice, and be ye kind one to another, tenderhearted, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you." Notice how the Holy Spirit is connected here with this issue of forgiveness. Bitterness will come very natural, but it grieves the Holy Spirit. Well, what's the opposite question? What's the opposite of bitterness? What are we talking about tonight? What's the opposite of bitterness? Forgiveness. What's the opposite of grieving the Holy Spirit, making him sad? What would be the opposite of grieving the Holy Spirit? Being what? Yeah, the filling of the Spirit. So if I'm going to grieve the Holy Spirit and just through natural fleshly bitterness, then that means I'm going to need the filling of the Spirit in order to be forgiving. In fact, look over at Ephesians 5 right after this about forgiveness. He says in Ephesians 5 and verse number 18, "And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess," say it with me, "but be what?" Filled with the Spirit. So what does that tell me? Look, I'm telling you right now, I've got to practice this. You have to pray. When you've been wronged, you have to pray. You got to yield to the Holy Spirit. You have to allow the Spirit's fruit of love to work in you and through you. There's no other way. Bitterness is a part of the old man, BC, before Christ. Forgiveness is part of the new man, Christ in you. Go to Colossians. Go to the right a couple books there. Ephesians, Philippians, Colossians. Let me show you this. Colossians chapter 3. And look at verse number 10. Colossians 3:10. It says, and have put on, if you're saved, you've put on the new man, which is renewed in knowledge after the image of him that created him. So, you are a new man in Christ. You've been renewed in knowledge after the image of Christ. So, you've got all that inside of you. Well, what does that mean? Look at verse 12. It says, put on, therefore, based on the fact you've been renewed in knowledge, based on the fact that you are a new person in Christ, based on the fact you've put on the new man after the image of Christ. Verse 12 says, therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, bowels of mercies, kindness, humbleness of mind, meekness, long-suffering, forbearing one another, and what? Forgiving one another. Forgiving one another. If any man have a quarrel against any, even as Christ forgave you, so also do ye. So, what's the first principle tonight? It's bitterness is a natural work of the flesh. Forgiveness is a supernatural work of the Holy Spirit. You are not going to be able to forgive apart from the working of the Holy Spirit in your life. I'm telling you, right now it's not going to happen. You got to be filled with the Spirit. Y'all with me tonight? Say amen. Amen. You got to be filled with the Spirit. All right? Number two, the second principle is this. Forgiveness acknowledges the offense, but refuses to use it against the offender in the future. Forgiveness acknowledges the offense, but refuses to use it against the offender in the future. All right, go back to Genesis 50. All right, let's run back to our text. Now we're going to be in Genesis pretty much the rest of the night. So you can just hang out right here. Look at Genesis 50, verse 20. Genesis 50, verse 20. Now Joseph is talking, and he says, but as for you, talking to his brothers, you thought evil against me. Now look up here. Joseph did not bury his head in the sand and act like it never happened. He did not say to his brothers, oh guys, I know you didn't mean any harm. I mean, you sold me into slavery. No big deal. He didn't do that. He said, man, guys, I know you thought evil against me. I know you did. I know you wanted me dead. You wanted me out of your hair. You wanted me gone. I know that you thought evil against me. You see, forgiveness doesn't act like there was never an offense. That's not forgiveness. You know, that it's not Joseph acknowledged the fact that they intended evil against him. Now, forgiveness does not mean that you're saying that they were right in what they did. It doesn't mean that when you forgive, some people think, well, if I forgive them, I'm admitting that they were right. No, you're not. Forgiveness does not mean that you're saying that what they did was right. Now, stay with me. Forgiveness is not an issue of someone else's spirituality, but rather how you will respond to their lack of spirituality. Let me say that again, okay? I want you to really get that one. Forgiveness is not about somebody else's spirituality. It's about how you're going to respond to their lack of spirituality. What you're basically saying is, I have chosen to forgive you and not bring this thing up again to you or anybody else. Forgiveness is not simply forgetting, as you hear so often. Forgive and forget. You hear that? Forgiveness is not forgetting. You'll find that you can't forget. Why? Because you're human. And how many of you have noticed? How many of you have noticed that there's no delete button in your mind? Don't you wish there was sometimes? Don't you wish that, you know, your mind is really like a computer, but don't you wish there was somewhere like a delete button on your head somewhere where you could, you know, choose to delete certain events or certain things like you can do on your computer. But you can't, unfortunately. There's no delete button. And Satan will be sure to bring it up. He'll be sure to remind you of the offense. He wants you to wallow in bitterness. He wants you to wallow in anger. It's like last week when I used this illustration, where I used the rope illustration, and I said, you know, that when you hold on to bitterness, you basically are allowing Satan to tie you up, you know, and then of course you're chained to the other person too. And remember, I think it was Rich, and I've chained him up, and everywhere I went, Rich went, you know. And I said, it doesn't matter if you leave the church, go to a different city, move out of the state. It doesn't matter. You're still chained to the past when you won't forgive. Well, that's exactly what Satan wants for you. So forgiveness is not forgetting. Okay, in your handout it says, forgiveness is not forgetting, but rather it is an act of the will. Forgiveness is an act of the will. It is a definite choice. It's not a feeling. It's not a feeling. You do not wait until you feel like forgiving, because you most likely will never get there. I'm telling you right now, this is such a huge issue. You know, the Bible talks about husbands, love your wives and be not bitter against them. Do you think husbands ever get bitter at their wives? Nobody will amen right there. Except a couple single people. Amen. But yeah, I mean, guys get bitter at their wives. And do you think that children get bitter at their parents? It happens all the time. The Bible warns against that too, doesn't it? It's a big issue, folks. This thing of forgiveness, I just can't tell you how big it is. Now, I'm telling you right now, if you wait until you feel like forgiving, it's probably never going to happen. Here's the deal. Here's what I want to emphasize. Forgiveness is a choice of the will. People say, well, I just can't forgive. You can. It's a choice of the will. It's a choice you make. When you forgive, you're basically making a choice of the will. You're saying, and I'm going to talk about later on how to do this, but when you choose to forgive, you're not doing it because you feel like it. You're not doing it because they've earned it. You're not doing it because they deserve it. You're not doing it because they've crawled over broken glass to you. When you forgive, it has nothing to do with feelings. In your handout, it says, feelings will heal after the choice is made to forgive. You see, human thinking says, get rid of those ill feelings and then forgive. But God says just the opposite. God says forgive, and then the healing of the feelings will probably come. When Satan brings it up, you know, when you've made that definite choice to forgive, and when Satan brings it up in your mind again, you can take him back to that time when you made that choice to forgive. And you can say, Satan, it's forgiven, and I refuse to allow you to ruin my life with bitterness. I refuse to allow you to bring me into bondage, to chain me to the past. I'm not going to let you do it. I chose to forgive. I made a choice of my will to forgive, and it's forgiven. And you can definitely win the victory that way. All right, let me give you the third principle tonight. Number three, when we forgive, we are allowing God to be the judge. When we forgive, we are allowing God to be the judge. Look with me back at our text, Genesis 50, verse number 19. Genesis 50, 19. It says, and Joseph said unto them, fear not, for am I in the place of God? Joseph, his brothers fully expected Joseph to retaliate. They fully expected him to seek revenge on them after their father Jacob died. And the reality was, he could have done it easily. That's the reality. He could have done it so that easy. Do you understand, folks? Joseph was the second in command over the entire nation of Egypt. But then the fact was, Joseph was in charge of everything on a practical level. Pharaoh was the only one above him, but Joseph as far as the day-to-day operations of the country, he had complete liberty to do whatever he wanted to do. Run back with me to Genesis 41. I want to show you how easy it would have been for Joseph to get even with his brothers, all right, after Jacob died. Look at Genesis 41, and I want you to look at verse 40. Look at this. This is interesting. Genesis 41, 40. We forget this, how much power he had. Look at verse 40. Genesis 41, 40. Verse 39, Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "For as much as God has showed thee all this, there is none so discreet and wise as thou art." Then he tells Joseph, "Thou shalt be over my house." He's over Pharaoh's house. "And according to unto thy word shall all the people be ruled. Only in the throne will I be greater than thou." And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "See, I have set thee over all the land of Egypt." And Pharaoh took off his ring from his hand, and he put it upon Joseph's hand, and arrayed him in vestures of fine linen, and put a gold chain about his neck. And he made him to ride in the second chariot which he had. And they cried before him, "Bow the knee." And he made him ruler over all the land of Egypt. And Pharaoh said unto Joseph, "I am Pharaoh, and without thee shall no man lift up his hand or foot in all the land of Egypt." Whew. Wow. Could Joseph have, when Jacob died, I mean, before Jacob's body was cold, could he have had his brothers imprisoned? He could have had them in jail like that. He could have had them in prison, and he could have said, "Boys, you're going to prison for the same amount of time I had to rot in prison." He could have had them tortured. He could have had his brothers tortured. He could have sold them into slavery as they had done to him. Joseph could have just simply had them executed. I mean, with one wave of the hand, he could have brought them before him. He could have had all of his guards and all of his soldiers there. And he could have told them ahead of time, "Here's what I'm going to do." He could have brought in the 11 brothers. And with one wave of the hand, boom, they pounce on them and they're dead. One simple wave of the hand, one command, and they're all dead. Joseph could have easily been the judge and the jury over his brothers, and certainly could have justified it in his mind. I mean, they put him through, he went through torture because of what they did to him. But I want you to notice what Joseph says. Go back to verse chapter 50 and let's run back there and look at verse 19. "And Joseph said unto them, Fear not, for am I in the place of God?" Wow, what an attitude. What an attitude. Am I in the place of God? Let me ask you a question. Did he deny their guilt? Did he act like they weren't guilty? No. Forgiveness doesn't deny guilt. Nor does it allow the guilty to be released from divine retribution. But in your handout it says, forgiveness releases that person to God to be dealt with fairly. Forgiveness releases them to God. You're saying, "I'm not going to get revenge. That's not in my job description," as we said last week. And you're releasing them to the Lord. It doesn't mean you condone what they did. It doesn't mean you agree with what they did. Listen, because some of you have been hurt deeply by people in the past. Forgiveness doesn't mean you condone it. Forgiveness doesn't mean you agree with what they did. In fact, a person's sins, there may be consequences involved to where you may not even be able to fellowship with them. You may not be able to have your kids around them. You may not be able to associate with them. That's biblical. Paul taught there are things that people can do where you really shouldn't associate with them. So I want you to please get the idea here. Forgiveness doesn't just mean that you sweep it under the rug, you act like it didn't happen, you act like they weren't guilty, you just condone it, you just, you know, pacify, you just agree with it, you know, and oh, you know, everything's just going to be hunky-dory. No, that's not what it is. Forgiveness is not tolerating the other person's sin. It's not that. Tolerating sin makes a mockery of forgiveness. That's not what it is. Forgiveness is the idea of this. Here's the idea of forgiveness. The idea of it is this. You're saying in your mind, God knows all about this situation better than anybody. He knows all about it. He knows the hearts, which we don't. He knows the hearts. He knows God knows the appropriate actions to take. If it's not repented of, He knows the appropriate punishment. So I'm going to allow God to judge this matter. I will forgive as He has instructed me to do, and I will allow God to be the judge. It's the idea of you saying judgment and vengeance. That's not in my job description. That's His job description. Now, that's a very difficult thing to do. It's hard to swallow your pride and forgive rather than take the opportunity to seek revenge. It's hard. I'll tell you another thing that's hard. This is difficult, and I've been through this, and I know exactly what I'm talking about here. It is hard to admit that God may even have brought some good in our lives through the ordeal that somebody else caused us. That's hard to admit. Pride doesn't want to do that. But did you know Joseph did? Look at verse 20. Let me show you what he said. He said, "But as for you, you thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day to save much people alive." It's hard to admit that, you know what? Even through that pain that other person caused me, even through the heartache they've caused me, even through the misery they brought into my life, it's hard to admit that, you know, God really has brought some good out of this in my life. But yet, we see Joseph having that attitude. Why? Because he really did forgive. He really did. And when you come to that point of forgiveness, you do begin to see those things. You begin to see the good that God's done in your life through it. It may be just something as simple as, it drove you to your knees and into a deeper relationship with Him, you know? Or it taught you some things about yourself that you didn't know before. Or the good that came out of it may be, this person did this to me and it hurts so bad. And you know what? Now I'm able to help other people that are going through that. And so, you know, that's important to have that attitude. All right, let me give you the fourth thing. We got two more. The fourth principle is this. Forgiveness is not merely words, it is action. Forgiveness is not merely words, it is action. Look at verse 21. "Now therefore, fear ye not," he told his brothers, "I will nourish you and your little ones." Notice he said, "I'm going to nourish you." In other words, "I'm going to take care of you." "And he comforted them and spake kindly unto them." This demonstrated the fact that he was truly sincere. Now, what do we mean by this? And I know this may seem like it contradicted what I said a minute ago. Every situation is different. So, you know, that's why there are all kinds of scenarios out there. And that's why I say that there are times when someone's sin or their actions are so grievous that you just can't fellowship. You cannot even restore that. You want to forgive, and you should forgive, and you don't want to get revenge and all that, but you may not even be able to restore the friendship. Maybe they don't want to restore it, or maybe their actions have carried some serious consequences to where that fellowship can't be restored. But many times it can be. If another person is repentant and they come to you for forgiveness, and really they want your forgiveness, many times God can restore that relationship. Sometimes it can even be stronger than it was before the offense. I've seen that happen. And I think that's what happened with Joseph. I'm sure his relationship with his brothers became stronger after his forgiveness of them. Because really, if you remember your Bible, they didn't have a real great relationship before all that. There was jealousy and envy and pride, and that they couldn't stand Joseph, and they thought he was just arrogant. And now they're able to bring that relationship, closer. And the point is this, that forgiveness is not just words. If we say to somebody, "I forgive you," and we say it through gritted teeth, and then we let it continue to occupy our minds, and we keep bringing it up over and over, we keep gossiping about it with other people, we dodge the other person, we probably haven't really forgiven. We probably haven't really forgiven. I read this. I don't even remember where I read this, but I read this, and it really spoke to my heart. But there was a pastor that was saying that he was having lunch at McDonald's with some of his family, and he said, "We were just having a good time," and he said a man came in with his wife and his children. They plopped down at a table nearby, and he said, this is a pastor talking here, but he said, "This guy really had hurt me in the past." He said, "We faked pleasantries and exchanged hellos." He said, "But I could feel my blood begin to boil at the thought of what he had done to me." He said, "He had wounded me badly." And he said, "I was surprised at how much hurt I still felt." He said, "We gobbled down our food, and on the way out of the restaurant," he said, "I overheard my enemy and his wife arguing because neither one of them had any money to purchase the food they just ordered." And he said, the guy's three kids were screaming for their Happy Meals. They're embarrassed. And he said, "My first thought was, praise God, there is justice in this world. He deserves every bit of embarrassment he's feeling. And I'm so glad I got to see this." Y'all think, well, a pastor acted that way? He said, "Suddenly the Lord spoke to me," and he said, "Romans 12 came into his mind, where God said, 'Vengeance is mine, I will repay. Love your enemy, do good to those that would do evil to you.'" And he said, God spoke to his heart through the word of God, "Here's your chance to be set free of your pain and overcome your hurt." And he said, "I had a choice to obey or bask in my bitterness." He said, "I reached into my wallet. I pulled out a $20 bill. I gave it to the guy. And I said, 'Have lunch on me.'" And he said, "I had tears in my eyes." Have lunch on me. You see, forgiveness is not just words. It is action. Last principle is this. Number five. The basis of our forgiveness to others is God's forgiveness of us. The basis of our forgiveness to others is God's forgiveness of us. The Bible is clear that we should forgive on the basis of God's mercy and forgiveness that He's extended to us. Look in your handout, Ephesians 4:32, forgiving one another, even as God for Christ's sake hath forgiven you. Look at Colossians 2:13 and 3:13. The Bible says that God, having forgiven you, how many trespasses did He forgive you, church? All. He forgave every one of your sins. Forbearing one another and forgiving one another, even as Christ forgave you, read it with me, so also do ye. How many of you have ever needed God's forgiveness? Say amen. Amen. God offers it to us freely, doesn't He? It's a free gift on the basis of what Christ has done on the cross. And in your handout it says, because of the cross, God can forgive me. And because of the cross, I can forgive others. You say, wait a minute, where's the justice? In your handout it says, the cross makes forgiveness legally and morally right. And then in your handout, I went ahead and put this in there. I said, here's a practical suggestion. Let me just kind of draw the net here and make a practical suggestion. It says in your handout there, make a list of those who have offended you. And it may not be a long list, maybe one, two people. Make a list of those who have offended you. Take that list and lay it before the Lord. Kind of like Hezekiah when he laid out that letter before the Lord. Just take the list, lay it before the Lord. And then imagine yourself facing the cross of Jesus Christ, where He paid for every one of your sins, every one of your offenses, every wicked deed, word, thought you've ever had. Imagine there he is. He's dying on that cross for me. And then as you do that, it says in your handout there, just pray something similar to this. It doesn't have to be this prayer, just something similar to it. God, since you have forgiven me freely, I can forgive them too. I make a choice of my free will to extend grace and forgiveness to, and there's a blank there for the name. I wouldn't advise writing that in right now. But when you get home and you get alone, you can write that in, make a list right there on that handout if you want to. But I make a choice on this date to extend that grace and that forgiveness you gave me. I want to extend it to that person right now. Go back to your Bible and look at verse 22. It says, and Joseph dwelt in Egypt, he and his father's house, and Joseph lived 110 years. Joseph ended up living to 110 years old. And Joseph could live out his days. Think about this. He lived out his days with the joy of knowing that his heart was free from the bondage of bitterness and revenge. He was truly free. And in your handout it says, you can know this freedom too. I think one of the reasons why he lived so long, I can't prove it, is because he was forgiving. Had he been just a real bitter, vengeful person, man, he might have died when he was 70. You know, just the bitterness just eats you up. It's like poison. He was forgiving. Hey, Joseph had it right. He ended up living to a grand old age of 110. You know? Now, I'm not telling you if you forgive, you're going to live to 110 tonight. All right? But I will tell you this. I think if you'll forgive and not be a bitter person, you'll live longer than you would if you're bitter. I really believe that. I think you'll live longer. It goes back to our lesson about how you can lengthen your days or shorten your days. I'll tell you a recipe for shortening your days is just always stay worked up, mad, and always stay, you know, in a vengeful attitude and just constantly be worked up in your spirit, mad at people. And I guarantee you, you will die younger than you would have. A heart attack or a stroke or cancer or something will eat you up because you can't hold that stuff in and not have it affect you, you know. And even if you were to have that bitterness and just be angry, because some of you may be thinking, well, man, my grandma was a mean, ornery person and she lived to 100. And you know, and I know there are exceptions to the rule. I'm giving you general principles. There are always exceptions to those rules, okay? But I will tell you this, even if you are a bitter person and you live to 100, you know what? You won't be able to enjoy your days, will you? Like you would if you just let it go and be forgiving. Amen, church. I hope this has been a blessing. Let's go to the Lord in prayer right now.